Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, it's Wednesday. So it is Racing Post Golf Postcast Day. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm joined by Steve Palmer and Paddy Powers in McLaughlin. We're going to look ahead to two really good tournaments, the Northern Trust Open at the start of the FedEx Championship playoffs, and the Czech Masters, where we've got a strong favourite. First of all, though, chaps, before we get stuck into what is going to happen, what happened last week? From a betting point of view, I think, Ian, it was pretty much one for the bookies, wasn't it?
It was. With Snedeker going wire to wire at the Wyndham Championship, it kind of ate into his liability as the week went on. But yeah, it was one for the bookies. Good result in Nordea Masters as well. So yeah, it was a solid week for us.
What price was Paul Waring at the start?
Was he 100-1, I think, if looking back?
100-1? I wouldn't have backed him up. Even now, knowing he won, I still wouldn't have backed him at hundreds. How was it for you, Stevie?
Oh, it was a very depressing week, to be honest. I was in a deep depression throughout the 4 days. I mean, Webb Simpson was my main bet. Very strong on Webb Simpson last week, if you remember rightly. And he sort of fell asleep in the second round, left himself too much to do. And then on Sunday, he played like I expected him to play all week. He was hitting his ball amazingly on Sunday. He could have fired a 59 of his own. I mean, Brant Snedeker carded a 59 on the Thursday. Well, Webb Simpson came close to a 59 on the Sunday. Had good looks at birdie that he missed on the 11th, the 12th and the 14th. Made a mess of the last and yet still shot 62. Finished second. So
he just teased you there on Sunday, didn't he?
Oh, it was an enormous tease, wasn't it? It was an enormous tease. I was saying to the wife as play was developing, she goes, "Oh, you're watching it intensely." I said, "No, I'm not watching it intensely. This is a classic PT. This is a PT." And I didn't go further than that.
What does that stand for?
Oh, no, I can't possibly tell you.
I think
it's the second word, teaser.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I knew it was going to end in tears, but I just so disappointed with that second round. I mean, he shot a 60 out in the second round. It was a very, very poor score on an easy course. And I think Simpson, you know, it was the right bet. It was still the right bet. But
you got a bit of place result. Money back, didn't you?
I played him win only.
Oh,
I
right.
played him win only.
No,
so no. But
did you take
Michael
a walk
Van
up
Gerwen
to the pot?
As well. I
mean, what happened with Van Gerwen?
Van Gerwen was 6-4 up in the final of the Brisbane Darts Masters and lost 11-6. So from 6-4 up to 11-6 down in the blink of an eye. Rob Cross.
Oh.
Yeah, Van Gerwen missed some key doubles. So yeah, it's one of the most disturbing Sundays I've had in a long while.
Did you take a walk up to the pylon? You've got
the
that pylon near,
yeah,
you, haven't you?
I haven't needed the pylon for so long. Things have been going so well. I think the last time I went up the pylon was Rory McIlroy lost the Dubai Desert Classic. So I didn't go up to the pylon. But yeah, if things continue as they did last week, I'm going to have to see my old friend the pylon, yeah.
Why though, when you live in such an area of great natural beauty, do you go and sit under a whacking great electricity pylon when you feel low?
There's something about the pylon that brings it all together. You really get your head together at the pylon. Maybe it does actually does something to my brain fizzing around. I don't know, but it's no one else goes to the pylon. That's probably the key element to it. When you get under the pylon, you know you're not going to sort of bump into anyone, so you can do your business.
Okay, fair enough. Ian, did you have a good week personally on the betting front?
It was a poor week for myself as well. Chris Kirk finished a couple of shallow of the places in the Nordea. Blomstrand led after in midway through the second round, so I was dreaming they have a big win, but no, they all faltered over the weekend. So yeah, it was a miserable week for myself too.
Oh well, always the way. Then there's always this week, isn't there, lads? So let's get stuck into that. We were going to do listeners' questions, but I forgot to ask. We will do them next week. Okay, right then, Northern Trust Open coming up next.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new, fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Actually, Steve, I'm calling it the Northern Trust Open. Is it that or is it just the Northern Trust?
No, it's just the Northern Trust.
Northern Trust, okay.
It used to be the Barclays, didn't it?
Oh, yes. Right, okay.
So, yeah, it's just whatever the sponsor wants to call it.
Ian, I've got a question for you. Why don't you bet on who wins the overall FedEx Championship?
We have FedEx Cup betting.
All right, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
So you could easily hit me back with, why don't you do your research better?
That's true.
Well, I remember, Steve, we used to have this discussion, didn't we? Because I was going on about the FedEx Cup and going, oh, what a load of nonsense. And you said, no, this is a really good betting event, but they don't seem to bet on it. But they obviously do now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm impressed with it. Are you going to be doing that all the way through?
Because we should do it. We're revising after each tournament, yeah.
Right, Steve, you need to do something.
He's worked very hard, doesn't he, this year, McLaughlin?
Oh, he's
got a team around him because you're going to need some... serious calculators if you're betting him running on that. But I was saying to Ian before we started, though, it's not until the last event, really, that anything matters. I mean, Rory McIlroy's taking this week off just because he knows in the grand scheme of things it doesn't really matter. If all you got to do is get in that top five for the Tour Championship, and then the FedEx Cup is in your hands. So
I'd say, Steve, in the grand scheme of things, a golf tournament definitely doesn't matter, does it, mate? We're all just little specks, aren't we?
I think you're right, Bruce. I think you're right, and we'll all be dead in the fullness of time.
We certainly will. Okay, let's have a show of betting, Ian.
Sure. So we're 8 places this week in the Northern Trust. Dustin Johnson heads our betting 8-1. Jason Day next in 11-1. Brooks Koepka 12-1. Justin Thomas 12-1. Tiger Woods 12-1. And 16-1 bar.
They're all there, aren't they? I mean, this betting in doesn't really look much different to what we had for the USPGA. So it's a very high-class event, isn't it?
Carbon copy almost, just without Rory, yeah, for sure.
And Ricky Fowler's got a little injury problem, really. Patrick Rogers getting married? Patrick Rogers is at a wedding. I'm not sure whether it's his own wedding. And then we got Bud Crawley.
That'd be great, wouldn't it, if it was like his cousin's wedding? He doesn't really know him, but he's sort of forced to go. So he's missing out.
I'm not sure why he's not there, but McIlroy and Fowler, the bigger missions.
Steve, a quick summary of what sort of track this is. Ridgewood Country Club.
Yeah, Ridgewood Country Club. It's been used 3 times for this event previously, 2008, 2010 and 2014. Been won by Vijay Singh, Hunter Mahan and Matt Kuchar. So all sort of steady eddies, which reflects the shape of the course. It's a tight tree-lined parkland layout. So you're looking at accurate operators, but it's over 7,300 yards. You're going to need to get your big stick out occasionally. So, complete ball strikers are favoured here.
Okay, let's go with your main tip, Steve.
Jason Day. I know he didn't do the business at the USPGA when I fancied him strongly for that, but he's been swinging superbly for a little while now. I love what I'm seeing from tee to green from Jason. He had a flat week with a putter at the USPGA, but he's typically brilliant with that club. So I'm sure the flat stick form will return. I'd fancy Day to contend anywhere at the moment, but just so happens that he's at a venue this week on which he's proven. He was 31st at Ridgewood as a rookie in 2008. That was a solid starter. He led at the halfway stage 2 years later, finished fifth, and then he was second in 2014, the only other time Ridgewood was used. So clearly loves Ridgewood, and he loves this tournament generally. Okay. Sort of a unique atmosphere at this tournament. It's played in the New York and New Jersey area, quite boisterous galleries.
They'll get pissed up and start yelling stuff, yeah?
Yes, yeah, it's got an intense atmosphere. And Day's form figures from the last 4 editions are 2-1-4-6. He won by 6 shots. Won the tournament by 6 shots in 2015 at a different New Jersey track. And if you narrow things down to just his form in New Jersey, his last 3 tournaments in New Jersey, 2-1-2. Because the 2016 USPGA was played there, and he was runner-up in that. So, he loves the vibe of this tournament. He loves the course. He's playing superbly. I can't pick holes in Jason Day. He's just had a couple of flat back nines when in contention, Firestone and USPGA, but it's nothing to worry about. It's all coming together for Day, and he seems fully fit. There's no issues with his back or any illness at the moment. I think it's time to time for a biggie.
Will he pay for the Disney trip if he wins?
Very much so, John. Yeah. I've still got that. I'm still in arrears with the Disney trip after last week. So, we need.
You got Grace going. I can't wait to go and see Mickey Mouse. You know, yes, it's going to be great, isn't it? Yeah, just got to pay for it. Ian, who's your main tip?
I'm the same. It's Jason Day. I won't echo.
Yes, good man.
Steve said. I'll just add one more point. Just looking through the course on Monday, it just reminds me a lot of Torrey Pines as well. I had the same sort of notes as Steve all there, but Torrey Pines, of course, where Dave thrives. Ridgewood looks quite similar to it as well. And I was at around the 14-1 mark. I think he looks the most solid proposition at the head of the market.
Okay, and Ian, we'll stick with you for your other fancies.
Grand. I have 3 more. Next one is Hideki Matsuyama. Player's coming back into good form now after a wrist injury in February, kind of stalled the season. Had a slow start at the Wyndham Championship, then a weekend 64-65 vaulted him up to 11th place in the leaderboard, which interested me as well that he gained strokes in the field on the greens over the weekend, so that's encouraging. This combined with his good ball strike, I think he's primed for a big week. Next in is Patrick Reed. 2016 winner of this event at nearby Bethpage. Also put in a great performance at Liberty National, which is 30 minutes from Ridgewood, in the President's Cup in 2017. So obviously enjoys playing in the area. Was ninth here in his debut in 2014 with rounds of 71, 66, 73, 65. With his love for the area, I think he just needs a decent week in the greens. At a 50-1, I think he's worth chancing. And the last one is Brant Snedeker, who was back in the winner's enclosure last week at the Wyndham Championship. Will enjoy the test at Ridgewood. Loves Poana greens. Winner at Torrey Pines at Pebble Beach in the past. An incredibly streaky player who can kind of go on these runs of good four or five weeks before going off the boil again. I think his confidence is back. He looked great with the putter, and around the 50-1 mark, he'll complete my quartet for the week.
Lovely stuff. Steve, who are you going to augment Day with?
I've got big prizes for the other three. It's all about Jason Day this week, but I've got three fancy prizes. Xander Schauffele plays well on tough courses, continually underrated in the market. He was superb in his first taste of the FedEx Cup playoffs last year. He was 17th in this event, and then he won the Tour Championship. That's an incredible effort on debut. He's clearly got the balls for these big bucks gatherings. Greens and regulation machine, should love Ridgewood. And he needs a big performance to secure a Ryder Cup wildcard pick. I think if he plays well this week, I think he'll definitely get a Ryder Cup wildcard pick. So plenty of motivation for him. And then I've got two massive price outsiders. Would you like them?
Yeah, very much so. No, I don't want one. We'll move on to the checkout.
I never know what order you do.
Do. Go on.
It's all so haphazard, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's carefully choreographed.
So Nick Taylor, almost down the bottom of the lists, Nick Taylor, but he showed some remarkable courage on Sunday. He carded a flawless 63 to move into the top 125.
Hang on a sec, remarkable courage is when you run into a burning building to rescue a kitten or something. Not to card a 63 on a bloody golf course.
We're not talking about burning buildings, though. We could do a podcast on burning buildings if you want, but in the golfing world, what he did on Sunday was beyond the pale. I mean, he was losing his US Tour card, and then he shoots a 63 with no bogeys on the card. So he will feel like absolute Superman at the moment. He's got some pedigree. He's a former world number one amateur. He's already won a US Tour event. He won a low-grade event in 2014. So I think with that sort of freewheeling mindset that he must have this week, you know, the playoffs are just a bonus for him now. His game was coming around. He's made six cuts in a row. I thought the prices of, I think it was 500-1 out there, were a bit silly. And then Aaron Wise is my other one. Aaron Wise, I think he's going to become an elite player. Got all the tools you need to flourish in the modern game. I don't think you'll be getting prices of 150-1 about Aaron Wise for much longer. He's 22. He's already got a US Tour win, one in fine style. And he was sixth at Firestone 3 weeks ago, which is an interesting bit of form, because all three previous winners at Ridgewood played really well at Firestone in the year of their victory. So that's an encouraging form line. But yeah, they're both tight parkland tracks which demand strong driving, so you can see why there might be a correlation. So yeah, Jason Day the main bet, Xander Schauffele next best, and then Nick Taylor and Aaron Wise is each way outsiders.
It's very unusual to have an American golfer with such a normal name as Nick Taylor, isn't it? They've all got such exotic names, haven't they? Which kind of got me thinking, what is your favourite silly named golfer from down the years? Ian, who's yours?
Surely has to be Kiradesh Afibarenrat.
Well, no, I just think that might be Nick Taylor in Thai.
Well, Taylor's from us, the Western one.
Strongest field of all time. I mean, it's incredible. Steve, who are you going to go for?
I like Josh Jada Watanon.
No.
Sorry, we're sticking on
again, that's just another normal Thai name. Look, the ultimate, there will never be another Domingo Hospital. You cannot have Hospital as a surname.
Yeah.
And I Googled him the other day, Domingo Hospital, because I was wondering what he's doing now. Did you know that, as well as a professional golfer, he was also an airline pilot at the same time?
I thought you were going to say a doctor.
That would have been good, wouldn't it?
That's why it wasn't any good as a golfer, isn't it? Your mate Toby Tree, you're good personal friends with Toby Tree now, isn't he? He's got a very good name.
Toby Tree and Alfie Plant in a two ball. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, and Chris Wood. Yeah, no, it sounds very nice, yeah.
Okay, any other bets arranged for us on the Northern Trust? First round leaders, three balls, anything? Ian, what would you like to give us?
No, I'm happy enough with the four I've given there for the outright.
Okay, Steve, anything?
I'll just play the outright market, I'm afraid.
No match bets?
No match bets at this stage.
Okay, let's go across to Prague next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. TNCs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, so we've covered the Northern Trust, which is the high-quality event. the European Tour moves to Czechoslovakia. No, it doesn't. There's no such country anymore. Probably Czech Republic. Anyway, Prague. The Albatross Golf Resort stages the Czech Masters. And we've got a fairly clear favourite here, Ian, haven't we? How do Paddy Power bet?
We do. Six places this week in the Czech Masters. Thomas Peters heads our betting at 11-2. Eddie Pepperell next in 16-1. Dean Burmester 20-1. Danny Willett 22-1. Matt Wallace 22-1. And 25-1 bar.
And we've got the old Swindon, not the Swindon Swinger, the Worksop Wonder in there as well. Lee Westwood. What price is Westy?
25-1.
Who's your main tip then, Ian?
My main tip is Dean Burmester. Good nine place in his last start in the Scottish Open. He's progressing nicely at the Albatross course with a 35th in 2016 and a 14th place finish last year. This course looks to suit bombers and guys who can make birdies. Burmester ticks both those boxes. I think he's turned into a classy operator and will rank highly in maybe the second tier of the European Tour players at present. In a weak field, he was my idea, the most likely winner.
Okay, well done, Steve. Who are you going to go for?
Sorry, a little bit distracted. I've just seen a fellow go past my window. He's got his kids in one of those reins things, and he looked quite old. It's put me off a little bit. I don't like those reins. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well, so if you've got a toddler, and if they trip up, you can sort of yank them back up from the concrete before they
face plant. He was pulling him like a blooming greyhound there. It was...
What, the kid was pulling the dad, or the dad was pulling the kid? No, the dad had the kid
was just in front of the dad. It was like he was literally walking a dog.
Is this your neighbour?
He was tugging him back. No, I've got a sort of lane that goes past my office window there, and I just noticed that. I'm sorry, it took me right off the ball. So what did you ask me?
Well, this being a golf podcast, us having done the American tournament and moved on to the European one, I thought I'd get your tip for it.
Oh, yes, good question. Yeah, Thomas Peters is going to win by half the track. I mean, he contended for the USPGA Championship last time out, you know, one of the best fields of the year, and now he faces a field where the second favourite is Eddie Pepperell. I mean, with all due respect to Eddie Pepperell, that is one hell of a downgrade. So Peters is a world-class player who's just rediscovering top form. This looks like a golden victory opportunity on a track which plays for his strengths. As Ian says, it's long, it's open, four par fives, which he can destroy. And he's made merry there before. He won his maiden European Tour title in this event in 2015, same course. And he was beaten by just a shot when defending 12 months later.
So, who by?
Paul Peterson.
Paul Peterson, the great Paul Peterson.
Paul Peterson nicked it, I must have,
after that, I didn't back him for that, and I thought, this guy's a player to follow. I've done my absolute brains on him since.
Yeah, I don't rate him. But, okay. Peter's highly motivated this week as well. I mean, this is a player who can lose interest in the game. He's said before that he hates most golfers. He prefers his life away from the course, but this week, fully focused. The highlight of his career was top scoring in the 2016 Ryder Cup. He needs to win this week, really, to make sure he's going to be on the lineup again. I think Thomas Bjorn wants him. I think Thomas Bjorn will want him in the team. But
did he really say hates all golfers?
I saw an interview with him where he sort of hates the sort of vibe on the around tournaments and thinks all golfers are a little bit stuck up and that. I agree with him in many ways.
I reckon that's true. Obviously. I reckon that's definitely true.
Yeah, and he likes snowboarding and getting away from things.
Oh, right,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah, he's, but this week I think he's fully switched on, and he knows he needs to help Thomas Bjorn, because I think Thomas Bjorn wants to pick him, but it's a difficult one to justify unless he performs really well over the next fortnight. So, yeah, Thomas Peters, I think, is worth a serious investment this week. And then my next best is Ian's number one there, Dean Burmester. Again, absolutely perfect for this venue, and he seems to be slowly but surely getting used to overseas events. He used to be a bit of a homeboy, liked winning titles on the Sunshine Tour, and never really settled overseas. But he made his major debut in the U.S. Open in June and played well there. Yeah, ninth last time out in the Scottish Open, played well at Wentworth in May. So I think Dean Burmester at 29 is starting to flourish. And then I've got one more. I'm going three against the field. Another South African, Hayden Porteous, who's the defending champion. He gave his Czech girlfriend the ultimate thrill last year by winning in her homeland. She loved every minute of that, and he loves the track. He finished sixth in the Nordea Masters last week, so timed his run perfectly, closed with a 65. He did exactly the same last year. He finished sixth prior to winning at the Albatross. So, I think I know it's not the most exciting staking plan in the world, but I think if you have decent bets on Peters, Burmester and Porteous, you're going to have a lot of fun on Sunday.
Sounds very exciting to me. Ian, who are your other selections for this?
Two more. One of them is Hayden Porteous as well. Again, I won't echo too much what Steve said. the sixth place finish at the Nordea caught my eye. He was off the boil for the past few months. Again, he's another bomber who can make plenty of birdies. I thought around the 33, 40 to 1 mark, I thought he was a very solid each way proposition. And the last one is Jack Kruiswijk's, another South African bomber who makes plenty of birdies. Was going well for three rounds in Nordea Masters, with around the 74, kind of dropping him to 40 a place. So he's kind of going under the radar. Had my eye on him for the past year or so as another South African who can make the jump to becoming like a European Tour regular and challenging for titles. I think he has the talent to do that, and I think he's worth an each-way play around 125 to 1.
And obviously, Ian, you had to pick one who was hard to spell there, didn't you, in Kruiswijk?
It's a weekly thing now.
Well,
we're all singing from the same hymn sheet here.
I know, yeah,
really
it's very good. I like this.
Questions. We really need some readers' questions this week to fill it
no,
out.
We
have we got
no,
any?
No.
Do you want to talk about the Ryder Cup?
No, we'll talk about your top GB and Ireland tip, Steve.
I'm a top GB in Ireland here. Yeah, yeah, good idea. Yeah, yeah. Oliver Fisher. Oliver Fisher, 25 to 1. He got fond memories of the Czech Republic. His only European Tour success came in the 2011 Czech Open, different tournament. And I like what I've seen from him the last few weeks. He's produced three solid performances, and he's quite deep in that market. I didn't expect him to be that low in a market which doesn't take much winning. I don't want to disrespect Eddie Pepero even more. I mean, he obviously has found some form, and I know he gets well back because he's got his army of followers, but I don't know why he's a much shorter price than Oliver Fisher. I mean, Oliver Fisher used to be, he was once touted as a potential world superstar, and obviously hasn't worked out for him like that, but he still retains plenty of ability. So, I think Oliver Fisher for top GBNI is a good supplementary bet.
And can either of you put me off Danny Willett? Because I thought he was showing a bit of a return to form this year. I just thought this might be a decent opportunity for him, no? Ian, could you have Willett on your mind?
He would be on my mind, yeah. Maybe just the price is kind of putting me off. He looks to be getting back to form, and this isn't going to take much winning at all. So, yeah, I wouldn't put you off around 22, 25 to 1.
And Steve, Westwood, when he does win these days, he tends to be in these kind of lower class events, isn't it? Could you have
He seems to win in Asia when he seems to win these days. No, I'm not sure. It's a shame. I mean, it's a shame for the Worksop because all this Ryder Cup chat is obviously stepping up a gear now, and nobody's mentioning Lee Westwood. He's obviously been a Ryder Cup stalwart for many a moon. And, maybe if he could win this week and next week, then, he would be Thomas Bjorn's pick. But, I think if you're looking at picks now, I think Henrik Stenson is the key to everything. He's got an elbow injury. I don't know if you know about this one, Bruce. He withdrew this week with an elbow injury. So big concerns for Team Europe there.
You're getting all excited about the Ryder Cup. Now you didn't want to talk about it for the last few weeks. Now it's Ryder Cup that.
No, I've come to accept that it's on the horizon now. It's actually on the horizon. And, the wild card pick chat is... Yeah, it's almost interesting me now.
It'd be almost interesting if they started betting on it, or is that another thing that you are betting on and I've ignored, Ian?
We plan to have Ryder Cup picks up in the next week or two.
Oh, good.
Well, what price will you go Paul Casey? Because Paul Casey is the one that I can't see Paul Casey getting on the team. I don't think Thomas Bjorn likes Paul Casey. I think Bjorn is...
he'd probably be odds against. Like, if you're looking like who would be the pick, you think Sergio would be a lock, Poulter would be a lock. Doubt about Stenson. I think I personally think Peters is going to be on the team regardless. I think McIlroy will want him on the team for how good they played together in 2016.
Yeah, I think Bjorn will want him on the team as well.
So
yeah.
You got one more from about six or seven there. So Casey probably will be odds against for sure. Probably
I can't see Casey because Bjorn's a European Tour loyalist, isn't he? And Casey's shown a bit of disrespect to the Tour in the past and the Ryder Cup. He didn't take European Tour membership, did he? So I don't think Bjorn wants Casey on the team. And I think Casey really needs to force Bjorn's hand in the next couple of weeks to get on the team. So I think as things stand, it will be Stenson, Garcia, Poulter and Peters. Unless Peters flops over the next couple of weeks.
Steve, I seem to remember when Bjorn was appointed captain, a few people kind of snorted and thought that'll be interesting because he's not that popular. Am I right or is he?
Oh, no, he's popular with Peters. He's just no nonsense, isn't he?
Oh,
he's one of he's one of these fellas that says it how it is. Is that the expression? He's bound to ruffle a few feathers. No, I think he'd be a good captain. I think we could see some fireworks from him. Yeah, I think he's a good captain. I'm pleased with his appointment, but he's certainly got some decisions to make.
Have you got the latest betting, Ian, on the Ryder Cup? Thank you very much. Have you got a strong view on it, Ian?
I still do. Europe took a big drift after Koepka, and the Americans kind of filled the leaderboard at Belle Reve. Like, they're coming to this course. This course is... so European heavy, like, in terms of it's, they play it every year, it's going to be set up to suit them. Listen to Justin Thomas speak during the week, he said he used about 6-7 drivers off the tee each round, so it's not going to be, their team is laced with bombers. They're not going to be able to overpower the course. It's going to take a bit of thinking about. Europe are well equipped to do that. So our current prices are USA are 5-6, Europe at 11-10, and the tie at 10-1.
Interesting.
Ian, yeah. If you're going to be betting on the wildcard picks, can you get me a price now on getting all eight right? You know, get the American ones and the European ones. That will generate some excitement.
You got about six locks, so geez, it won't be that big now. Yeah. It won't be about.
Well, I haven't told you my four for America.
Oh, go on then.
Might be saying Tim Herron for America.
Who are they? Your four from America.
As things stand now, if Ian could give me a price today, it would be Stenson, Garcia, Poulter, Peters.
Okay.
And then Woods, Mickelson, DeChambeau, Schauffele.
Woods, Mickelson, it's about 2-1, isn't it?
Probably Schauffele would probably be getting the price out to maybe 3-4-1. He's probably the loose one there. I would have Kuchar over Schauffele personally in terms of thinking what Furyk would want, not what I would want.
Definitely lefty, Steve.
Yeah. We want lefty in the team. Yeah, they want lefty in the locker room.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
You have a little think about it, and then
I'll think about that. I'll come back to you. Maybe get Bruce maybe to tweet it out or something later on. I'll get a price.
Yeah,
rate.
Good idea.
Okay. Why don't you unlock your Twitter account?
I will. I should unlock it. Really, I'm a very private person, Bruce. So I'll.
Well, unfortunately, my friend, you're now doing a podcast that listened to by tens of thousands of people, so you're not that private. So get on.
Tens of thousands? I thought we were in the millions.
That's pretty good.
Because we're not talking Ryder Cup. Now we've got Ryder Cup chatting.
Tens of thousands is great, mate. That'd stand up against any golf podcast.
Oh, would it?
Yeah. So
unlock it. Yeah, that's my task for today.
Unlock it, and then everyone can interact with you as well, Ian. For sure. You're a very popular man, we get a lot of people saying nice things about your input into these. So, chaps, quick summary of tips. If you're only having one bet this week, what's yours, Steve?
If you're only having one bet, I think you should have the Thomas Peters double with Jason Day. I always like to encourage doubles because you're not really going to get anywhere unless you have a few doubles occasionally. So Thomas Peters, Jason Day double, and then everything you can afford to put on that, put it on.
Don't be ridiculous. Sorry,
bet responsibly, but bet with passion.
That's it. And Ian, what's your one bet this week?
I'll go a double as well. I'll go Jason Day and Dean Burmester.
I will be doing them both. Thank you, chaps. Now, don't forget, we bring you these podcasts for free and we're delighted to do so. But if you are feeling kind, we'd love you to rate, review and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud and iTunes, or indeed any other platform you're listening to us. We're back next week looking ahead to the Dell Technologies and the Made in Denmark. So do join us there. Are you both back for that, chaps?
Yep. Yeah, I'm still here. That's last week before Disney World.
Fantastic. Okay, speak next Wednesday. Thank you very much indeed for listening or watching.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.